Okay, today's daf from Masechet Tmura is daf Gimel, and we are holding at the two dots, and we've been talking about Kodshei Akum, and we had the whole question, which started with the question of Rabbi Bar Chama, what's going to be the halacha about the din of Tmura on Hegdesh that an Akum made, which was for the benefit of the Kapora of another Yisrael. We left with it, of a Yisrael, rather. What would be the din legabe doing the tmura, which the Rambam learns is the tmura done by the Akum, which the Ravid learns is the tmura done by the Yisrael. But in any event, we left the question with a take yesterday, and now we move on to the other dinim that we had mentioned in the Machlokas, the Braita, about the halokas of Pigo, Neuser, Tomei, Meila, where Rabbi Yossi said, Rola ani bekulam lahachmer, we're still trying to explain why we would exclude the dinim of Me'ila, Pigo Noisi V'Tanei, from Kodshei Akum, since the Torah specifically says Ish Ish, and from Ish Ish we learn out that the Akum is measuring the Dorim like Nedaves, like Yisrael. Why doesn't it have the same din as the Korban of Yisrael? Where do we get the idea that there's no din of Me'ila? Let's start with that, because that was the first one. So Amar Kachi of the Kochovim Lo Nehanin Velo Moalim. Lo Nehanin Midrabanan, but Lo Moalim Midiraita. Where does that come from? My time. Dichtiv, let's take a look at the way that the Torah says this Yisurim. When it comes to the din of Me'ila, so over there it says, Nefesh Kitimo Ma'al V'chata Bishkagam Mikachei Hashem. So then, Ve'viat Hashemo, and he has to pay up, and so on and so forth. But this is the din of the Asham Mi'ilot. Now, since it says over there, Nefesh Kitim Amal V'chata, and the Torah also uses the Lashon Avolot Yisah Alav Chet, we're talking about Chet, by the dinim of Truma, so we now know that the two are interrelated. And therefore, since by Truma it says specifically the words, the Kodshei, Truma si lecho Kodshei b'nei Yisrael lecho nesatim, it means that just like Truma is only b'nei Yisrael, so too this din of Me'ila v'chata is similar to Lot Yisrael of Chet, and because of that, you will be also potter from an akum when it comes to truma as well. This is a decan. Thank you. It's very sweet of you. We shall try. Thank you so much. L'chaim, everybody. Wow, that's really nice. It's good stuff. I gotta say. Okay. So therefore, since it says over there, then that lo yisu alav chet has to be the same as over here, which means betruma k'sibnei Yisrael, the law of dekochavi. The next thing you said was that even though kachim of an akum have a din of a karban, for some reason you won't be chayev pigo, neiser, or tamei if you ate that karban that had been brought chutz lizmanai or had been left chutz lizmanai, or you were tamei while you were eating it. Amazingly, you won't be chayav. How could that be? Oh, you see, this is actually a little bit complex. We start off because it says, Daber al Aharon ve'obanam, v'yinazru mikachei b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yechalalu eshem kachi. So in other words, there's a din that mentions chilo in terms of tuma. V'yinazru mikachei b'nei Yisrael, is referring to a coin as Tamei. You have to be very careful. Don't be Michalel. So then we learn out the Isurim of Tuma. Now, over there, since it specifies, Kodshei B'nei Yisrael, you know, stay away and don't touch anything that's Tamei, or that while you're Tamei of B'nei Yisrael. So therefore, it stresses only B'nei Yisrael. That means not Akum. Now, how about Noser? That's Tomei. How do we know Noser? Because we learn it out from Gzeira Shavim. the word chilul that appeared over here by Tuma, v'lo yichalalu et shem kodshi, also appears by Nosar. The chtiv gabi Tuma b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalalu, uchtiv gabi Nosar, it also says, v'ochlava v'no yisa, ki et kodesh Hashem chilel. So that means that the same chilel that excluded Akum from the dinim of Tuma excludes Akum from the dinim of Noisa. And now that I know that that's true about Noisa, I can learn a further extension from another Gzeirah Shava out of Noisa to Pigel. How is that? The Yolif Pigel Ovain Ovain Minosa, because by Pigel it says, a nefesh aochelet mimena avonatisa. And by Noser it says, ochlav avono isa. So that means oven is stressed here. That's just interesting. We're going chet, chet, oven, oven. Through, of course, chilel, chilel. But in any event, the Torah is comparing now, first, in two steps. First, we have to learn out the din as it appeared, legabe tuma, where it says specifically, only b'nei Yisrael, yenozer mikotcher b'nei Yisrael. Then we learned out from there that wherever it says the din of chilul, which it does say by Noser, that that too is only B'nai Yisrael. But by Noser it talks about Avono, there'll be no say Avon. That means that by Pigo, where it says there'll be no say Avon, is in the same context as the Noser. And if Noser itself is only B'nai Yisrael, the law of the Kochavim, so too is it about Pigo, that the dinam of Yisrael, Achilas Pigo, is only Avonat Isa, if it's Kotcher B'nai Yisrael. So even though it does have a din of Kodesh, and it does have a din of Korban, but it's not Kotcher B'nai Yisrael. Now Kotcher B'nai Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave other dinim to. Kulu B'nai Yisrael, V'lo Ovdei Kochavim. So that shows that all these three categories are not included Kotcher Yisrael. The last thing that we said is that ein osim tmura. That's because dechtiv lo yachlifenu. That's the pasuk that we've been building everything on. Lo yachlifenu, lo yamiro totov barao rabatov. But the opening to the entire sugya, which as we pointed out yesterday, there are two sugyas, and only two sugyas that are defined at the space between the chayk, Mishpat and Teres of Bechukosai and the mitzvahs of Bechukosai, the two dramatic endings of Bechukosai. The two things that come in between is Erechin and Tumura. These two besech appear over there. And the entire sugya is introduced with Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem. That means that specifically the halachas over here of Tumura are limited to the dinim of B'nai Yisrael and not to Akum. Now, there's another lashon that explains why we exclude Tumura, and that is because, remember, the Daber al B'nai Yisrael actually continues on, as the Gemara just mentioned, which is Ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha. There's a psucha, a parsha setuma between the parsha of Arachin and the parsha of Tumura. And in reality, as we saw when we read it in the Psukim, the parsha of Tumura is repeated very strangely twice. First, there's the parsha, the general parsha of Tumura, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamirato. Then all of a sudden, at the end of the whole thing, it says, ki met ma'aser b'nei Yisrael. Then we talk about the concept of ma'aser, that this is talking about ma'aser behima, that you can again, as if we never heard of that before. Why do we need a special pasuk to tell me by Masa? We left that yesterday when we looked in the Psukim. That is exactly the basis of a number of halachas, one of which is this, which is the iskish tmurat beima l'maaser beima u'maaser beima l'maaser dagat. Since the Torah, for some reason, says over the din of tmura in the din of maaser beima, and the din of Meiser Behema, which doesn't say anywhere is only true about B'nai Yisrael, but it says Meiser is only true about B'nai Yisrael. And the Torah compares Meiser Behema to Meiser Dagon. And by Maaser Dagon, it says, Beferish, get Maaser, B'nei Yisrael, Asher Yarimu L'Hashem, which means that the din of Maaser, hence the din of Tmura, which is repeated to be learned out of Maaser, V'halo Maaser Bechlala Yavalama Yatza, it's to teach me. The only time that Tmura applies are in the things that Maaser would apply, and Maaser doesn't apply to Akum. Then we said, Ve'eno mevi nesachim. Now, there are two very different gersos over here. The gers that we've been reading, this is Rashi explains, Ein mevi nesachim. Ein mevi nesachim means that a goy cannot be noder nesachim. But korbano is ta'un nesachim. So what does that mean? He cannot bring nesachim on their own. A Yisrael is able to be noder and nesachim on their own, as we saw back in Zvachim and Menachas. A goy doesn't bring nesachim, but his korban requires nesachim. So if he sends the money for the nesachim, so then we'll use his money to purchase the nesachim. But we have a takana, remember, we learned about in Shkolim, that if the goy does not send the money for his korban's nesachim, then Beis Din made a tnai on the money in the lishka that the tzibur pays for those nesachim. Fine. That's one way of learning it. If he pays for it, obviously, matov, even better, they should pay for it. The other way of learning it is that we do actually read it together with this word, which is ve'en mevi alehem nesachim, which would mean not that the korban doesn't require the nesachim, obviously, because it says korban amton nesachim. So ein mevi'in alehem nesachim would mean the goy cannot bring the Nesachim with his korban. In which case, even if he would send money for the Nesachim, we wouldn't accept it. It would only be paid for by the tzibur. It's a completely different way of learning, which some of the Rishonim have that girsa. So there's two different ways of understanding the Gemara. Rashi takes the approach that ein mevi'in Nesachim alone, avo korbanoto, Nesachim divrei bishmi b'nan emile. How do we know that they don't bring the Nesachim themselves? The Tanur Rabbanan in the pasuk of the Nesachim, Kol Hezrach Yaseh Kachat Ela Lakriv Shereach Michoach LaHashem, which is the continuation in Parsha Shlach after the horrible Gezerah of the Meraglim. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Nesachim. The interrelationship between those two is very poignant, but in any event, that's where we had Kol Ezrach Yaseh Kacha. Ezrach, by definition, means the citizens of Eretz Yisrael, which are those that are Yerush Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they and only they are maybe Nesachim, but not an Eved Kachav. Yocholote Olato Tu'una Nesachim, from which you might conclude that if that's the case, they're not even chayiv to bring Nesachim. No, it repeats on everyone in these korban. Kacha. You have to do it like this. Whenever the Torah says kacha, it always means it's got to be this way. It's li'ikuva. So if it defines the korban as being li'ikuva, and yet at the same time it says kol ha'ezrach only yaseh kacha, that means we have two completely different issues. We have the kacha as it's being brought with a korban, that they're mechuyav. The kol ha'ezrach, which is marba, bringing a korban of the nesachim, not a korban with nesachim, that's only said for the ezrach. Omar Rabbi Yossi, ro'eh ani bechulan lahachmir. I disagree. I believe that you're chayev on me'ila. I believe that you're chayev on pigol, on neser, on tameh, and that none of these drushes are good drushes. And that in fact, in akum, you would be chayev on all four of those for you. What's his fara? My time, because in the very pasuk where the Torah was mar be'ako, and it says ve'amarta aleihem, it says davel banav Aaron banav ve'el kol b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem. There it says ish ish. You're talking to b'nei Yisrael, and you're being mar be'ish ish, which is ako, and you're telling b'nei Yisrael that this ish ish, which is being brought, is being brought asher yakriv korbano, asher yakrivu la Hashem. Obviously, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem. Ella, the point that the pasuk is making is, don't think just because I started off talking to Bnei Yisrael and then I was just marb as a side point, akum, which you think means it won't have the same halacha. It's not true. Asher Yakrivu LaHashem, what everybody is bringing is going straight LaHashem. Therefore, it all has the same. You don't have any rights to differentiate between it. Which means, says Rabbi Yossi, that you have to treat all of these things as kachay shamayim. And you don't have a right to be memayit from the miyutim that you learned from Daber El Bnei Yisrael. It says over here also Daber El Bnei Yisrael. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marbe specifically Ishish, and specifically LaHashem. Okay, so then that's a blanket statement that the meaning of Bnei Yisrael when it comes to these dinim of kachim is not to limit it from Akum. Otherwise, how do you understand the whole opening of the sugya? The Torah gives us the dinim of karbonis and starts talking to Bnei Yisrael and then it talks about the goyim. And it calls it karbon LaHashem. Beautiful deal. Fine. Now, we continue on to say this is a machlok, as you remember, between Rashi and Tosfos, whether this is the statement that is the continuation of Rabbi Yossi, or as Rashi says, this is Rabbi Shimon has made it. That where did I say there's no din of Me'ilah? I was talking about only kachem of Yushas HaGuf. But when it came to the Kedusha of Berak HaBayit, then there would be Me'ilah for misusing the funds of an Akum. Okay, where do we get that from? Yes, the Gemara might have, no? Because what was the Mekor, remember, that excluded Me'ilah? Which again, is Mashma that Rabbi Yossi excluded also. He didn't agree with that, right? Which is why Rashi's saying this is only going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said it's excluded. He said Bekulam. The question is, what is the Bekulam? Okay, but assuming that this is Rabbi Shimon's statement, so then it doesn't say anywhere in that pasuk, Aish Kiyimo Mal, doesn't say anything about Kedushas Aguf for Kedushas Domim. So where would we know the difference that he would have a right to say, well, when it comes to Me'ilah and Kachem Berakabayas, you would be Chayim? I'll tell you. What was the basis of saying that there was no din of Me'ilah? Because we learned it out from Truma. Chet. Was it Salav Chet? Or Kikhata? So then, is Truma Kedushas Domim? Or is Truma a Kedushas Aguf? Truma is Kedushas Aguf, obviously, right? Therefore, we can only learn out Chet, Chet, Truma if it's similar to Truma. Just like Truma is Kadosh Kedushas Aguf, that's the Me'ilah that we're talking about on something that's Kadosh Kedushas Aguf. It says don't misuse Truma, it says don't misuse Kadosh. But what type of Kadosh? Oh, so therefore, if it's talking about Kedushas Domim, there's no comparison to Truma, and it remains, therefore, a generic Kedush LaHashem. You understand the difference. Even though this sounds counterintuitive, why should I be more machmir that there should be a din of Me'ilah when it comes to the money of an Akum? That's because Jewish money is good enough for Nazis too. In other words, you're talking about the generic concept of Kedush's ownership. What's nafka mina? Where it came from? The guy gave it. Now it's Hekdesh. You went ahead in your mail. What do you mean I'm being mail on something of a guy? You're not being mail on something of a guy. You're being mail on Hekdesh's money. But when you're talking about the carbon, which does have a relationship in terms of its conditions, like, oof, to the Torah. And so over there, Rabbi Shimon holds that the Torah specifically said, look, it's just like Truma. There's no concept of a guy being able to actually have that Kedusha on Truma that is called Nisyas Chet. Same thing is true of Yerubayla. It's not. It's counterintuitive only for a moment. Then you realize that actually makes a great deal of sense. So we have no right to be Mamayat Kedushas Domim. Omer of Yudah Omer Rab. Now, getting back to one of the most striking elements of the opening of Temura, which remember yesterday we pointed out the extreme involvement on every level of the Einesh for the Temura with the Isser of the Temura. And that had to do with the relationship to the Temura of Atzibo, or the Temura of Shutzim, which there's no din of Temura, but there's still din, a din of Chiyav Malkus. according to the Rambam, right? That's how he understands the whole sugya. The question of whether a cotton is included, because a cotton ultimately is going to be chayev and hanshin. The question of whether we would be memayet and akum simply because of the fact that he's not included in hanshin, and so on. But that is because the Mishnah, strangely enough, stressed that point. The whole opening Mishnah said, Hakol me mirim. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I mean, you can effectuate a tamura, but you're going to get malchus. So figas harboim. But the first thing that strikes you is, what did you do to be so figas harboim? Because normally, in order to be so figas harboim, you have to do an act. Is there any act that's involved in tamura? And because of that, this leads to the main sugya of lav she'en bo maisa, and so on, in kol ha'Torah kula. What is the din? Now, do we derive it? Is it the same as tamura? We would get malchus. Why would tamura be different? All of these things immediately occur to you when you read that Mishnah. And therefore, we begin today with the sugya, Amar Rav Yudah Marav. The rule is, kol lo ta'aseh b'Torah. Anytime you have a lav in the Torah, if you did that lav with an action, asaba ma'aseh, then you'd be chayav. But if that lav was not done with an act, lo asaba aseh, you're potter. So says the Gemara, what? Aren't we learning tomorrow? The klolo? What you're telling me, a rule is a lav she'en bo ma'aseh potter, but we're learning tomorrow. And Meimar is a lav she'en bo ma'aseh malaki. Well, read the Mishnah again, man. Lo shadam rishoy la'amir ela she'im he'mir mumar v'sofeg et ha'arbaim. It says, befair as you do get malchus. Ah, says Rav. Yeah, oh, that Mishnah. That Mishnah, that's going according to Rav Yehuda. We're going to see later on when we get deeper into the sugya that Rav Yehuda's shita indeed is lav she'en bo ma'aseh lo kin alav. How can you say, oh man, now the Mishnah is Reb Yehuda? When he started asking me, what is Hakol Meimirin? What did you say? Hakol Meimirin to include a Yoresh. Not like Reb Yehuda, who holds a Yoresh ain't no Meimirin. Now all of a sudden, because it's convenient, now it is Reb Yehuda. Make up your mind. Is the Mishnah like Reb Yehuda? So then what is Hakol Meimirin telling me? If it's not Reb Yehuda, then how do you say that you get malchus? So, ask the Gemara Vahu, didn't you just say that the Reisha was not like Reb Yehuda? You said, Hakol Meimirin, and we asked, Hakol Latuye Mai, and you answered, Latuye Yoresh for the local Reb Yehuda. Now you're saying that this part about Sofigas Harboim is going according to Reb Yehuda. Is it or isn't it? Well, I didn't say it is Reb Yehuda. I said that Tana is paskening like Reb Yehuda. The Tana of our Mishnah holds like one of the dinim of Rav Yehuda, Benogea, the halacha of lav she'en bo ma'aseh, but he disagrees with the other halacha of Rav Yehuda, Benogea, Yoresh. What's so big? So hai Tana servala kavate b'choda, namely, the lav she'en bo ma'aseh, look, you know, love that, he holds of Rav Yehuda. And he disagrees with the other statement, because according to Reb Yehuda, Yoresh eino sumeh, Yoresh eino mimir, whereas our Tana Sava, Yoresh is sumeh, and Yoresh is mimir. Omrev Idi bar Ovin, Omrev Amram, Omrev Yitzchak, Omrev Yochanan, Mishum Rev Yossi Agvili. This is slightly different. And that is that kol lo ta'aseh shebetorah, Osa bo ma'aseh loka, lo asa bo ma'aseh patur, chutz mi nishba. I have three things, not only tamura. I say you can maintain your rule. The rule is lav she'en bo ma'aseh ein lo kin alav. But there are three very prominent exclusions to the rule. Tamura, obviously, is one of the exclusions, which we just had. But there's another two exclusions. And those two, the other two exclusions are nishba, taking God's name in a shvua. And besides tamura, mikalel chaviro b'shem, somebody who uses God's name to curse another person, which is also no act, it's also going to be mechayev, af apisha imbo maaseh, you're chayev. And for these three super exclusions, we have special psukim. But that doesn't invalidate the general rule that we would have to say that the Mishnah would be going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Where do I get this from? We'll see in a moment, because according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, there is one additional example of a case where all you did was say something, and nonetheless you would get malchus. And what would be that? Af ha-magdim truma lebikurim. So if you were over on Meleatcha v'dimacha lo ta'acher, and you switched the order, you took off truma first before you took off the bikurim from your field, you would also be over on Alav, and you would be chayim malchus. Now let's see what the mocker is for these different things. Nishba. So you said, number one of the big things that you'll get malchus for, even though you didn't do an act, is making a shvua. How do we know that? Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, it says in the pasuk, very famous pasuk, Ki lo yinakets, right up there on the Luchos HaBris. Lo tisa shem Hashem lokecha lashav, ki lo yinakeh Hashem esa sher yisat shmo lashav. Now, what does that mean? Lo yinakeh Hashem. I am not going to do anything about this. You use the shem Hashem lashav, you're in big trouble. But I'm being meramez. I'm not going to do anything about it. But I'm asking the Bezdin to take care of it, because otherwise this guy will never be able to get a kapora. So Hashem is not menakeh. But Bezdin Shalmala, that means, is not menakeh. But Bezdin Shalmata is menakeh. How can it be menakeh? By giving him malchus. So that means that the Torah specifically wants this person to have a kapora, but they're not willing to deal with the kapora on the level of what he did. They're willing to deal with the kapora on the level of Eilam Hazeh, where people suffer for a while and they live for a while. And in the context of that, that's the way the guy was involved in making his silly little shvua. So in that context, he can have a kapara. So Bezin Shalmat should give him malchus. I'm a little pup of mine. I didn't quite understand why you read it that way. I mean, it sure sounds like it's making this tremendous point of you'll never get out of this one. Lord, you're not cash. I mean, this is finished. You use the Shema Hashem in a Shrua Shav. It's over, baby. I don't know, but that's what it sounds like. I mean, so how do you come off saying that Dafkit's telling me that he should get a kapara? Says Abaya, because look, what does it have to say, Lo Yinakeh Hashem? You said, Lo Tisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'shav, Ki Lo Yinakeh. He will not, you use his name, he will not be menakeh. So why does it say Lo Yinakeh Hashem? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Elo the Pshat is, it says Hashem to be Meramis to Bezdin Shalmala. That's the point. It's because Im Kain, if it really meant he cannot have a kapara, Lichtav Kra Lo Yinakev Yishtok, Hashem Lomeli, that's coming to tell me. Hashem and his Bezdin, and we often use the name Bezdin Shalmala, Hude Im Menakinoto, Avo Bezdin Shalmata, Malkino Menakinoto. Now, in this pasuk, you must admit it says Lashot. There are different types of shvuas. A shvua shav is a very specific type of shvua that we define at great length in the Sechet Shvuas. And it consists of vanity, meaning it serves absolutely no purpose. So examples of a shvua shav is swearing about something that everybody knows to be true and saying, I swear, if it isn't a beautiful day today, thank you very much, you swear. That's a shvua shav. Or you can say something that everybody knows is absolutely absurd. Oh, I swear that the Swarovski stones are pure diamonds. Yeah, right. Okay. So, whatever. Okay, so that's the example of the Gemara Shvuas. You take a stone and you claim it's gold. Okay. All right. So Amud shall even that it's actually made out of Zohar. That defines a Shvua Shav. I understand that in that case, you're making an absolute joke out of the Shem Hashem. What kind of business is this? You're talking about either trivialities or stam, utter stupidities, and you're using the Shem Hashem? What is it? We're little kids playing in kindergarten with the Shem Hashem? That I understand. Lo yinak Hashem. And that is something that is given over to the Bez and Shammah. Okay. How about somebody swears falsely? Now, there's different ways of swearing falsely. You could swear falsely about an event. I swear I did not steal that money. You can also swear that some event will happen. I swear I will finish your soup, darling. None of that soup will go to waste. Or stop trying to get me to eat that soup. I swear I'm never going to eat that soup. Right? Now, those are two examples of a shvua, that is the shvua mentioned in the Torah. Lahara olaitiv, something that you're promising to do in the future positively, something that you're promising to do negatively. Now, that means that there's really four different types of a shvua sheker. You could say something did happen. Yeah, I gave the guy the money. You can say something didn't happen. No, I didn't steal the money. You take a shvua for both of them. Those are two types of shvua sheker in the past. You could swear, I will eat the soup, and then you don't. And you could swear, you won't eat the soup, and then you do, which are two types of shvua sheker in the future. Now, they're obviously very different. And they're very different also in terms of the question of lav shein bo ma'aseh, because if you say, I swear I won't eat the soup, and you do, then actually you have done a ma'aseh. There's only three examples of where you do something without the ma'aseh. You do the issue without the ma'aseh. One is you swear you will eat the soup, and you don't. So you passively are over on the shvua. There you didn't even say anything additional. Over the other way, which is l'sha'avar, is another two examples of where it is that you simply said something, I swear I didn't steal the money, but you did steal the money. Or I swear I paid the guy the money, but you didn't pay the guy the money. That is similar, actually, to the shvua shav, isn't it? It's far more similar to the shvua shav. Because in the shvua shav, you're saying, this stone is a diamond. Now, that stone was not a diamond before you said it. You know, so when you said, this stone is a diamond, it's like saying, I did give the guy the money. No, you didn't. Except that over here, it's trivial. And over there, it's not trivial. That's the difference between them. But in terms of the structure, it's basically the same thing. This stone is a diamond means it was a diamond before I said it's a diamond. So I'm saying this stone was a diamond. No, it wasn't. I gave the guy the money. No, you didn't. So those are similar to the shvua shav, whereas the question of maybe I absolutely did intend to eat that soup, and then I didn't. I mean, that you certainly can't call a trivial thing. I didn't even know it was a lie when I said it. Turned out I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Very, very different ideas, right? Now, you said that the case that you will get Malkus on, the big exclusion case, is the case of somebody who is Nishba L'Sheker. Then I ask you, how do you know? And you bring me the Pasuk of Nishba L'Shav. Now, that wasn't what we're looking for. I'm asking about the case that you said. Nishba L'Sheker. How do you know that that's included? So, Ashkan Shvua Shav, Shvua Sheker Minolan. So, Rabbi Yochanan himself has a very simple suggestion for that. Since the Torah repeats Lashav, Lashav twice, Asher Yisad Shmo Lashav again, Lot Yisad Shem Hashem Elokach Lashav, okay, so then why mention the same thing twice? One of them is used with one of the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSbor, which is called Nimeno Inyan. I have no use for it in expanding further the idea of Shav. It must come to expand the din of Shav itself. So one, Nimeno Inyan L'Shvua Shav, Tineo Inyan L'Shvua Sheker, Delok. Fine. Asks Rabbi Avu, okay, it sounds very nice in theory, but we have four different types of possibilities of Shvua Sheker. I'd like to know which one you're including. Shvua Sheker that you said is included. What do you mean? Hechidami. Inei meda amar shalo ocha, what the guy swears, I will not eat the soup. And then he does. So then there is a maisa. That can't be a case that we need a pasuk to tell me that you're chayiv, even though ain't bo maisa. That's like everything else, right? So that's not the case. That's kamaisa kava. Ela, it must be the case where he said, I will eat the soup, and he doesn't eat the soup. Yeah, except there's one problem. You don't get malchus for that case. And you're claiming that we learn out from Moshav that we do get malchus for that case. Because me lucky, the Aitmar, doesn't it say beferish that if a guy says, Shrua sha'ochal ki kazayon, I swear I'm going to eat this today, and the day passes and he doesn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan himself, who is the one who just claimed that I'm going to use the extra lashav to be marba sheker, and that's a case of sheker done without a maisa. Rabbi Yochanan himself says, in that case, you will not get malchus if you don't eat it. Because it says that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree, there's no malchus for that case. Rabbi Yochanan says there's no malchus for that case. Ain't a look at the lav she'en bo maisa. Whoa. The kol lav she'en bo maisa ain't lokin alav. I thought you just said we're going to be mar, but this case is an exclusion. The Rabbi Yochanan says that can't be the case that he's adding because he's excluding that. He's not excluding that case from the general rule. Reish Lakish says that's not why you don't get malchus. You don't get malchus because you can never give him hatra'ah. And if you cannot give him hatra'ah, you cannot give him malchus because hatra'ah consists of don't do that. Don't do the not eating the soup. I'm not don't doing that. I fully intend to eat that soup. But cool down, buddy. You know, there's plenty of time left. It's getting late. Don't do that. Relax. Meanwhile, it's the last tenth of a second before the day. Don't do that. Oh, gee, too late. I couldn't eat the soup. So, Lamaisa, no matter when it is you give the hasra, there's no indication that the guy's doing anything wrong. Right? So how can you give him a hasra'ah? It's going to be, by definition, the ultimate example of hatra'at safek. You call hatra'at safek ain lokin alav. So that can't be the case that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to be marva either. Okay. Ela amar Rabbi Abba, you know what? We're going to have to say that the case that he's being, Rabbi Yochanan is marva, is the other two cases. I did give the guy the check. I didn't steal the money, or in terms of eating soup, I did eat the soup. I didn't eat the soup. But both of those he makes with the Shvuah, those are indeed are extensions of a Shvuah Shav because they are indeed very similar to Shvuah Shav, as we're going to discuss. You're talking about something that already was or wasn't, just like you did by Shav. And that must be the case. So te b'chalti v'lo achalti. So why exactly are we doing this? I understand. If you just agreed that we are not adding the case of a passive not eating the soup, where I promise to eat the soup in the future and I don't, and Rabbi Yochanan says the reason that you're not chayiv is because of lav she'en bo maisa, then why is Rabbi Yochanan ready to say that the lashav is marba two other cases which seem exactly the same? They are both shvuas that are done without a maisa. And over there he says you are chayiv malchus. I don't understand what the difference is. So, Mashna de Kamarba, Achalti velo Achalti, why see that as what to include, as opposed to, Ochal, I swear to eat, and he didn't eat? Amar Rava, look, it makes so much sense. The point over here is that the Torah is expanding the envelope of Lashon, right? Okay. So then, Beferish Ripta Torah, Sheker Doma Lashon. Shav is exactly this kind of thing. I swear this was a diamond. By saying this is a diamond, I'm saying this was a diamond. No, it's not a diamond. It never was a diamond. And that's exactly the same thing. I swear the guy was paid. I paid him. You didn't pay him. You didn't pay him then. He isn't paid now. That's the same idea, except one of them is trivial and the other one isn't trivial. So the idea of the extra lashav, as we pointed out earlier, is marbe, a non-trivial similar shvua to lashav. Mashenkin, we're talking about something where I fully intended to eat the soup, I didn't eat the soup. What does that have to do with lashav? Absolutely nothing. I created a new chiyuv mitzvah in the Torah, eat soup. Now, wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah? That's exactly what happened. What are you laughing about? That's exactly how it works.
No, I'm thinking about the soup. This is some This is some soup.
Well, it's a subconscious response to having brought a little bit of soup home last night after the seance. And my wife wondering why wasn't the soup. No, I swear, I hate the soup. Yeah, I'll finish the soup. I swear I'll finish the soup. So it's all part of, it's all fresh in my mind. All right, so it's like just very close to my heart at this moment.
And it's still, and it's even a sign shelf.
Right. It's Hasra Safik. All right. So therefore it makes a great deal of sense, says Rabbi. Ma shav le'ashav, ma'av shek le'ashav. Eitzei Rabbi Yirmiyah le'Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Abahu, we got a very serious problem, sir Rabbi Abahu, because you're claiming that we are marba, a case of a shvua in the past. I did eat it, I didn't eat it, I paid the guy, I didn't pay the guy. The problem is that it says beferish, that that is not true. At least the way that I read it, it's saying beferish, that it's not true. Now, read this and tell me what you think. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this. Shvua shelo ochal kikarzo. The case we're talking about. Guy swears, I am not going to eat this bread. And then he repeats it again. I swear I'm not going to eat this bread. And I swear again I'm not going to eat this bread. Right? Okay. He does go ahead and eat it. He's only chayev once. Einu chayev ela achat. And the reason he's only chayev ela achat is because once he makes that first shvua, now he's being nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah because he already has a chiyav here. And a shvua, therefore, cannot be chal on a shvua that already exists. Okay. So he's chayev for the first shvua that he made, even though he said it three times. This is not nogeyar discussion. But these words that follow are very nogeyar discussion. And the Mishnah says, and this, v'zoi, this is the case of a shvuas bitui, which is a shvua sheker, where you would be chayev malchus if you did it on purpose. You went ahead and you did eat it. And if you did it by accident, you would be chayev a korban oil of a yoreid on shvua sheker. Now, please, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, explain to me why the Mishnah says, and this is the example, as opposed to what? But what would not be an example of a case where you would get malchus if you did it b'mezid, and you would bring a carbon out of a yard if you did it b'shagri? Well, I'll tell you, the only thing you can come to exclude is the opposite. Where the guy said, I will eat the soup, and he doesn't eat the soup. Okay, so in that case, what is it coming to tell me that, I'm sorry, I did eat the soup, and I didn't eat the soup. We're saying, the case over here, this is our first take. Obviously, we'll be able to change it. But our first take is, you said you will definitely not eat the soup. And you did. That's where your chayav malchus. But if you said, I definitely did not eat the soup, and you did, then you won't be chayav malchus, right? So lav lamuti achalti velo achalti over there, you won't get malchus. No. No. First of all, if I accept that that's what the Mishnah is referring to, and we'll see why I would want to accept that. But let me accept that that's the alternative case. What did it say about the alternative case, my dear? Says Rabbi Abahu. It says, and this is the example of the case where your chayev, malchus, b'mezid, and korban ola v'yared b'shogeg. But there is a different case which you are now claiming. I did not eat the soup, and you did eat the soup. Where you would be not be chayav malchus, wrong. There's another case where you would be chayav malchus, but you wouldn't be chayav a carbon olive oil if you did a b'shogeg. There's two statements here. I'm not saying that neither of those parts would apply. I'm saying this is the only example of a case where you can have these two things. That if you do a b'mezid, you're chayav malchus, and if you do a b'shogeg, you're chayav a carbon olive oil. But if you do the shvuah of I didn't eat the soup, and you did eat the soup, then you would be chayav malchus, because we just learned that from Shav. So why does it say this is an... Because you wouldn't have a chiyuv of a carbon olah v'yareid. Why? Because it goes according to the Man D'Amar who holds that there is no korban oila v'yoreh. And that's the idea. Lo zohi dal shigigatom I say korban. Aval achalti v'lo achalti. To swear, I didn't eat that soup, or I did eat that soup. Even though you would get malchus, as we just proved, you wouldn't bring a korban. Why? Because he's going aliba to Rabbi Yishmael. Umani Rabbi Yishmaeli, Rabbi Yishmael shita is eno chayav ela al hatid lavo. Since it says beferish in the Torah, lehara ola hatid. So in the story of the korban oil of the yored, it says a person who sinned with a shvua to do good, to do bad, not about what was. So therefore, says Rabbi Yishmael, what was is not part of a korban. There's no chiyuv of a korban about what was. You're only chayuv on what you said you were going to do or you're not going to do. But there's no korban at all in the past. But milkeh, lucky. You would get malchus. All we've been talking about is malchus. Did I say a word about the korban? No. So therefore, this has nothing to do with my discussion. I, Rabbi Avuah, claimed what Rabbi Yochanan was being marved as the exclusion to a lav shein bo maisa is simply saying, I didn't eat the soup. I did eat the soup. Yuchayim Malkas. It says in the Mishnah, no, there's only one case. It doesn't say there's only one case where Yuchayim Malkas. It says there's one case where you're both Chayim Malkas and a korban. This is not a case where Yuchayim Malkas and a korban. I agree with you 100%. But that's because Rabbi Shmuel holds there's no such thing as a korban on something that has to do with the past and not the future. Very simple. Okay, fine. Let's assume for a moment that this is what it means. I challenge you to read on. The next mission, continuation of this mission, the next mission. There it talks about the crazy case that we had that this is a diamond when it's actually a piece of garbage, right? That's shvushav. So it says over there, zohi shvushav, and this is the example of a shvushav where you are chayavim al zedoina makas, which we just learned, ki lo yinake Hashem, and for which you will not be chayav a korban. Bal shigigata patur. Now, when you say over here, this is the shvuah shav which you will be chayav malchus on, as opposed to what? What will you not be chayav malchus on? I mean, the only case that's similar to a shvuah shav, as we've already seen, is a non-trivial shvuah shav. A non-trivial shvuah shav is, I paid the guy. I didn't pay the guy, which is absolutely the opposite of the facts. You did not pay the guy. You did steal the money. And that's the equivalent of a shvuah shav, except since it's not trivial, we call it a shvuah sheker, an expansion of the normal than a shvuah shav. And it says over here, and this thing does not get malchus. And you claimed this thing does get malchus. How are you going to handle this one? So lav lamuti achalti v'lo achalti, you don't get malchus. Says Rabbi Abba, no. Again, you're doing the same thing. There's two parts to this statement. This is the shvuah shav that you will get malchus, but will not bring a korban. Well, guess what? There's another type of shvuah shav where you will get malchus, but you will bring a korban. What is that? Achalti v'lo achalti. You just said in the other mission that you won't bring a korban. That's how you got out of the other one. I can't believe it. You're slippery as an eel. I talked to you about that mission, and you said, no, that's only saying you won't be chayav a korban. This one, when you come along, you say, no, it's only telling me that you won't be chayav a korban, but here you will be chayav a korban. Yes or no? Who's the man the armor holds you will be chayav a korban? Well, obviously, money over here, it's going. He is Maisikam, he's going back to Rabbi Akiva, who argues with Rabbi Yishmael. And he says, you definitely do bring a korban both on the Atid and on the Avar, not like Rabbi Yishmael. And he learns out that we're marbel arav al Atid, both for the future and for the past. Did you say a minute ago that the Mishnah was going according to Rabbi Yishmael? And the whole point of the Mishnah was to tell me that you are not going to bring a korban for something that's in the Ovar. You can't get away with this. Okay. try another approach. All right. The safe is Rabbi Akiva. I say we stick with Rabbi Akiva. All right. Safe is Rabbi Akiva. All that it's telling you is that you will bring a carbon, but you certainly will bring malchus. It doesn't mean to say you won't get malchus. Now let me go back to the Reish. Okay. The Reish is also going about Rabbi Akiva 100%. It's talking about that you will actually have to bring a carbon. And yes, I admit that the Mishnah definitely says that you are not Chayav Malkus, and I said you are Chayav Malkus. But remember, the Mishnah doesn't say what the case was that you don't get Malkus. You said, isn't the Mishnah obviously referring to the equivalent case where a person says, I did not eat the kikar, instead of I will not eat the kikar? No. The opposite case that the Mishnah is referring to, the case that the Mishnah talks about is, I will not eat that kikar, and I do eat that kikar. Okay, what the Mishnah is coming to say is, this is a good example. But a case where I said, I will eat the kikar, and I didn't eat the kikar, and that we're all agreed, you don't get malchus. Either because it's a lav shebo maaseh, or because it's asra asafek, we're all agreed, you don't get malchus on that one, right? So this has nothing to do with the question. I was talking about l'sha'avar, I did eat the soup, I didn't eat the soup. The Mishnah is talking about another case of l'haba, except the case in the Mishnah was, I won't eat the soup, and he did. And it says, there you'll get malchus, correct. As opposed to what? As opposed to, I will eat the soup, and he doesn't. There you won't get malchus, correct. There you won't get malchus. Works out perfect. The second case, indeed, is talking about my case. I didn't eat the soup. I did eat the soup. Over there, you will get malchus. And that makes perfectly good sense. Only the Rabbi Akiva, you will also bring a carbon. Ah! Wait, so I understand. Well, I mean, this is all arbitrary. You pick and choose your cases. The first Mishnah is coming to exclude the case of, I will eat the soup and you don't. And the second case is coming to exclude the case of Lisha Avar. I did not eat the soup. You can't pick and choose like that. Want to bet? Watch me. Because you ask Mishna? Well, obviously, man, use your brains. What's the first Mishnah talking about? Case given. Case given is, I will not eat this piece of bread. And you do. Okay. Alternative case is, I will eat this bread because it's talking about l'sha haba. So the first mishnah, mishum dekoy b'l'haba, it's talking about a shvua l'haba. So it talks about the opposite. It's memayet l'haba. The opposite case is also the case in l'haba, which is, I will eat the soup. What, you really think that you had an intelligent point before? We're talking about koy b'l'haba, memayet l'sha haba. Well, we're trying to be memayet the case of lo achalti. Why would I do that? Mashenkin, the second missionary, was talking about exactly the same thing. Because we were talking about a shav is l'sha avar. So therefore, if you want to say zohi, as opposed to the case of l'sha avar, shalo achalti or achalti. Beautiful. Which in that case, yes, you'll also get malchus, but you will also have to bring a carbon. As opposed to the case of shav, where you don't bring a carbon. Ah, perfect. No problem, the Mishnah is in shavuos. Okay. That concludes the din of the exclusionary status from the din of Shvua to a lav she'ein bo maisa. Now, what about the case of Tamura? We'll just do this a little bit extra here. What about the case of Tamura, Meimar? Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana, don't include Tamura. Excuse me. Tamura is not an exclusion. Huh? No? You didn't do a maisa. You did do a maisa. All I did was talk. Yes, but a maisa that changes a physical reality and will turn a behemas chulin into a behemas kodesh, that's a maisa. I don't care if it's achieved through speaking. So don't include tumura, because tumura is not a violation of the rule. I don't need a special basis for it. Mishum dibiduburo asa maasa. He accomplishes a change with his dibur, and that's why it says. Can I just include the next the little piece about Mekalel? It's okay. I'm a little bit over. Mekalel is chavero b'shem. How do I know that there's a chiyuv of malchus just for cursing someone? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Oshaya. Look, If you read the pasuk, you will see that the Torah speaks about a case of a mekalel, of the sense of a Hashem Elokecha tira voto tavod rishmoti shavaya. What all of those things are in the context of being very careful in lo tishmor laasot et kol divrei haTorah hazot aktuvim baSefer hazeh. And here is the rule. What are kol divrei haTorah hazot? Lira et Hashem hanichbad vahanora hazeh et Hashem Elokecha. If you will not do that, what's going to happen to you? V'hifla Hashem et makotcha v'et makot zaracha. Makot gedolot. What do you think that v'hifla Hashem et makoto are if you don't take care of his shem agadol and instead you go around using it to curse out people with, like fools in the street walk around cursing? So it says v'hifla Hashem et makotcha. You say, well, I don't know. Hifla could mean anything. Yeah, I want to bet. But when it says v'hipilo ashofet, he'll tie you down and whack you. That's what it's referring to. So you see, for using the Shem Hashem, then you're cursing with the Shem Hashem, you're chayav malchus. Wait a minute. That just says using the Shem Hashem. Be very careful about the Shem Hashem. I mean, maybe that means even if I swear something that is true, and it's a true shvua, you know? And it's all true. I swear I paid you. You swear? Using God's name to swear? Take the guy to court, put him down, and give him malchus. Who let him use the Shem Hashem? That's called covenant for the Shem Hashem. So maybe it has nothing to do with cursing. Maybe even if I would go ahead and make a shvua. So maybe even shvuas emes. No. The Torah says shvuas Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem. The Torah says to use the Shem Hashem and to actually go ahead and make a shvua to somebody that said, I paid you. I swear I paid you. That's what it says in the case of the shamer. You're supposed to go and swear. I understand you're supposed to go and swear. You don't have to, do you? I mean, if you want to, you can pay him. He doesn't believe you, so go pay him. The Torah says, look, you know, if you want to get beaten the hell out of, and you also want to not pay, so go and make a shvua. But we'll still beat you up. Maybe. I mean, the other way of learning it, that's Rav Rashi, the other way of learning it is, maybe for the purposes of making another person feel that he's not being cheated, the Torah allows you to make that shvua. But stam to make a shvua, where is it necessary in the context of the court? Maybe he didn't allow you to make that shvua. So you'll still get malchus if you make that kind of shvua. Not true. Lo matzit amrit, because it says beferish ubishmo tishaveya. It says beferish Hashem Elokecha tirav oto tavod ubishmo tishaveya. So you do have to swear. You're given the right to swear. No, that could just mean the boy like it around. The Omer of Gedolam Rav Minayin Yishidish Ba'im L'Kayim B'Tam Mitzvot. How do I know that it's okay to make a shvua? I've gotten up all week in time for davening. I swear tomorrow morning I'm getting up in time for davening. How do you know that that is okay to make a shvua, to be mezarez yourself to do a mitzvah? Minayin Yishidish Ba'im L'Kayim B'Tam Mitzvot Shonem Anishbati V'Akayima Lishmor Mishpatei Tzidkecha. So that would be referring to Mishmot Tishaveya, but not stomp to see a guy swear I paid you. I swear the check's in the mail. Yeah, but there's another pasuk. Because the Torah also says, Ubo Tidbak Ubishmot Tishaveya. So then that's adding an additional Mishmot Tishaveya. That must be coming to tell me that I have a right to use the Shem Hashem to swear Emet. So therefore, what must this mean? Why? Why does it come to add the case where I curse someone? Why does it have to be talking about cursing someone? Maybe it's talking about somebody who likes to go around making brochas, even though he's not chayav on the brochas. See people like that all the time. Oh, Baruch Atah Hashem Shechiyanu V'Kiyamanu, pow! Right? I mean, maybe that's what it's referring to. So we give the guy malchus. Who's to say it has something to do with cursing? So maybe it's a Shem Shemayim Levatola. Okay, I understand. But a guy who's going to curse someone else is not worse than being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, how do you know that if somebody is more than Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, that the Malkus has any meaning? If he's Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, the Torah says, V'hifla Shebet Makotcha, because that's enough to remove the pegam of what you did. But if you also went ahead and cursed someone with the shame, maybe there the malchus is not what's appropriate because you ain't getting away with this just by getting beaten in court. This is much worse than that. So over here, kiva tekavi tartiv, you're mekalach haver b'shem, you did two things. A, gamafik shem shemayim levatola. And besides that, you're being mitzayir another human being. Maybe over there, lo tiskele b'malchus, it's insufficient for you to get malchus. I'll leave it at that. Cliffhanger. Of course, if I had another 2 minutes, I'd get to the two dots. But I've already used my salami tactics. So we'll review this last piece tomorrow and finish it up. Okay, Rabbosai. That's Lord Rabbi. We met her.